It is my pleasure to welcome to the stage, as we enter the last three of our talks, Michael K. Rear, who's going to be speaking on wastewater injections and nearby production. He is a litigation shareholder at Harris, Finley & Bogle. His practice focuses on complex, high-stake litigations. He received his, this is our first, Master of Laws, Energy and Environment and Natural Resources from the University of Houston Law Center, his JD from Boston College, and his Bachelor of Arts from Boston College. Please welcome Michael Rear. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. And I was so happy that you guys were able to put this conference together again. Another great turnout, I think. Especially last night, it was great to see so many people here, so many people that we know. And I think it's a great sign that people continue to be interested in the work that Ernest Smith did, Professor Kulander, Professor Owens continues to do. So thank you for putting this together and bringing everybody together in one place again this year. So we're talking today about the effects of wastewater injections on pre-existing production, on productive intervals. I've got probably a little bit more than 30 minutes, so anything that we don't get to today, it's in the paper that's available online. The full slide deck is available online as well, and so we'll just kind of see how far we can get. When we talk about wastewater, we're really talking about what is being produced contemporaneously with the oil and gas in the well. And so you put an oil well in the ground, you don't just get oil, obviously, right? You're going to get oil, you're going to get gas that need to go to market, you're going to get some produced water that is going to need to be handled either through underground injection or through recycling in order to continue to produce fluids from that wellbore. And I put a little snip of an article from 2022 up here that estimates that the oil and gas industry in West Texas is producing about 3.8 billion barrels of wastewater per year in the Permian Basin, which is quite a significant number. It's kind of staggering to even think about, because if you take a zero away or add a zero, it still doesn't make any difference in your mind. And so how that water is managed and injected back into the ground from which it came becomes a pretty significant issue. So to kind of, I'm using this chart here to explain the problem in a pretty general sense. It's a technical problem, but I'm going to use this chart to explain it. The yellow highlight would be what we would consider kind of a traditional vertical conventional producing zone, the DMG, the Delaware Mountain Group. It consists of the Bell, the Cherry, and the Brushy Canyon formations. And so when a vertical well operator is taking fluids out of that zone, in essence, what they're doing is removing the oil, the gas, and the produced water. They're separating out that oil and gas, sending it to market. The produced water is then put in an injection well that goes back into the same formation from which those fluids came. So you're taking fluids out, you're skimming off some of the fluids that you want to sell and bring to market. The remainder of the fluids go back into the exact same zone from which they came. You're not going to see a major change in the pressure differentials of that zone. Conversely, look at a tight shale formation like the Wolfcamp formation. You produce from those big horizontal laterals from the Wolfcamp, you're producing a significant volume of not only obviously oil and gas, but you're getting a pretty significant water cut from that. You can't put that water back into the formation from which it came, either because the rock won't take it at all, or because it's going to significantly affect the economics of your well, because of the pressure that it's going to take for you to put that water back into zone. And so what's happened in the Permian is you've got oil and gas you've got injection wells, commercial injection wells, which return that water back into the ground, but into a different formation from which it came. Here, for example, the Delaware Mountain Group, in my view, is the most common in the Permian. But when you start adding fluids to the Delaware Mountain Group from the Wolfcamp, you're raising the overall pressure profile of that formation. And you've got the possibility that you're going to be displacing or moving some of the oil and gas that's in place that's producible and paying quantities in those zones. And you're pushing that oil and gas outside of where it's economically recoverable. You can't recover it, it's lost, it's displaced. In other words, in the regulatory sense, it's been wasted because you can't commercially recover it. Typically in Texas, I think that's how the problem of the impact of wastewater on oil and gas production has been perceived. I think other states have a different perspective on it. The one I call to mind right now is New Mexico.